So we're going to be listening to eight scriptures just in a little while, and they are designed to lead us in the last evening of what Jesus experienced. And I want to share a little bit about those verses. You will hear them in their entirety, but I just want to touch on a couple of things from those verses and do a little bit of a narrative of what took place that last evening. So listen to the words of the people that Jesus interacted with, the voices of the day. The first reader is going to share from Matthew 26. Jesus is with his disciples. It's a night while he's having dinner. It's a night before he goes to the cross, but he's sharing a meal, a very intimate time to share a meal with others. Everything is going beautifully. It's a meal like no other. We know now what happened, but at that moment, the disciples around the table have got no clue what Jesus is going to say next. There's that moment when the talking stops because Jesus says, "One of you will betray me. One of you will betray me." To that, each of the disciples proclaim, "Surely you don't mean me, Lord." Then Jesus says, "The one that I dip my hand in the bowl with, that's the one that's going to betray me." And he even goes further. The mood's already solemn, but he goes further and says, "It's better that that person was never born." And Judas says, "Surely you don't mean me, Rabbi." It's straight after this that he says they must eat and drink the wine in remembrance of him. I'm sure they're kind of wondering, what is happening? This isn't like any other meal we've experienced. And right then and there, he institutes the first Last Supper. The second reader will take us to Matthew 26, the second half. After he's shared the Last Supper, after he's broken the bread and he's shared the wine, he says that they will all fall away on account of him. As if the first statement wasn't enough to kill the party, this statement surely must have done something. It's a very solemn moment. The disciples love Jesus. They spent 3 years with him. They are so very close to him. They will all fall away on account of him. I'm sure there's a stunned silence. But then the voice of Peter is heard. Peter is often the one to blurt out what is running around in his head. The faith that he feels, the deep commitment to Jesus Christ at this time, seems so strong that he says, "Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will." Well, then Jesus tells Peter about the rooster. He says, "Before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times." Peter goes further and says, "No, I stand firm in my commitment. Even if I had to die with you, I will never disown you." And all the other disciples sitting around say the same thing. They're resolute in their commitment to Jesus Christ. We skip a little bit to reader 5 and 6. We're going to read from Luke 22 and Mark 14. Later on in that evening, when the meal is over, they go to the Mount of Olives. Jesus decides he's going to pray. He needs a bit of quiet prayer. He needs to be alone. He says to his disciples, "You pray here." And he goes a little bit further and prays. He is so intense in his prayer that his sweat is like blood. He comes back, and would you believe he finds his disciples asleep? He says to them, "Hey guys, I said you should pray." He says, "Pray." Again he goes. And when he returns, they're asleep again. He wakes them up. He says, "I said you should pray." You would think a third reminder would be enough. You would think they would get it this time. But unfortunately not. When he comes back, they're asleep again. Three times he said they should pray. Three times they just fall asleep. Reader 7, there's this moment in the garden where Judas appears. He's not alone. He comes with the chief priests and the Pharisees and soldiers. They're carrying torches. They're carrying lanterns. They're carrying weapons. The scene of prayer is turned into a scene of confrontation. Jesus asked them, "Who is it you want?" They say, "Jesus of Nazareth." And he says, "That is me. That is me." And we almost expect that at this moment they would pounce on him and take him away, but they don't. We're not quite sure what happens, but they fall back and they fall down. I'm quite sure they're in the presence of Jesus and they know it. He asks again, "Who is it that you want?" Again they say, "Jesus of Nazareth." He again confirms, "I am the one you're looking for." And then Judas steps forward and kisses Jesus' cheek. The sign that he is the one that should be arrested. They step forward to arrest Jesus, but Peter tries to stop them. He draws his sword and strikes. He cuts off the ear of the high priest's servant. His slave loses an ear because of Peter's excitement, his need to protect. Jesus tells Peter to put his sword away. And Jesus reminds him, this has to take place. What is happening here has to take place. He has to be arrested. And then he heals the ear. And they arrest Jesus. Peter follows Jesus and those who come to arrest him. He's not too close, but he's not too far. He's asked three times, "Do you know this man? Do you know this man, Jesus?" He's not asked by the Pharisees or the Sadducees or any of the religious leaders. He's asked by the servants. Three times he's asked, and three times he says, "No, I don't know this man." And then the rooster crows. How did Peter feel? I often wonder if he felt the weight of letting Jesus down. Even if everybody else falls away, I will not. I will not deny you. Yet, it happens. Jesus is being questioned about his disciples and his teaching. One of the officials doesn't like his answers, and so he slaps him. Our last reader, reader 8, will read about the humiliation and the torture. They put a purple robe on him. They fashion a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They mock him. And finally, they lead him away to be crucified. Do you hear the voices of that day? When Jesus said one would betray him, they proclaim, "Surely you don't mean me, Lord." When Jesus said, "Surely you don't mean me, Rabbi." When Jesus said they would all fall away, we hear Peter say, "Even if all fall away on account of you, I will never." When Jesus said that Peter would disown him three times, Peter says, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." When Jesus says that they should pray three times and they fall asleep three times, they have nothing to say. When Jesus asks, "Who is it you want?" Judas responds with a kiss of betrayal. Later, the rooster crows and Peter realizes that what Jesus had said was true. He had disowned Jesus. Then there are the final words of humiliation. The last reader will share them with us. But they mock Jesus with these words, "Hail, King of the Jews." True words, but not words of acknowledgement. Words of mocking. I often wonder what it would have been like to be there that night, to follow this journey from the meal all the way to the garden, and then to be at a distance as Jesus is questioned. I wonder what my feelings would have been as these events unfold. And then I wonder what I would have said. I wonder how I would have answered. What would I say? What would you say? How would I answer? How would you have answered? Let's pray together. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we worship you, Lord. What an honor and a privilege to again remember everything that you endured that night before you were crucified. Thank you, Lord, that you knew the plan for your life and that you stepped into it. Thank you, Lord, that we can look back on the events and worship you, knowing that you are the King of the Jews, that you are Jesus Christ, the Messiah. You are the chosen one, the one that gives us life and life in its fullest. We worship you. Thank you, Lord, that we can step out of our busy lives. We can stop and we can meditate on all that you went through. Lord, as we go to the table now, we remember that it was on this very night that you instituted the Lord's Supper. You said we should do this very thing in remembrance of you. Thank you, Lord. Lord, transport us again to that place and that time. As we remember, I pray, Lord, that we can have vivid memories of you, of your goodness, your grace, your mercy, your love. Thank you, Lord. Let us remember you in all of the places in our lives. Let us remember you when it's hard. Let us remember you when it's not so difficult. Let us remember when you were there. Let us remember those times, we pray. Bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen.